Christ died for me. Aren't you glad that he did that for you? Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Praise the Lord. Are you glad he did that for you? Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Well, we had a camp meeting and a half over the weekend, didn't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just, I think we're just beginning to see the tip of the iceberg as to what God really wants to do in our midst. If we'll come committed to him, believing on him, our thoughts on him, I believe we'll get more and more and more out of these services, don't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Why don't you turn around as you stand. Shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Play some more of that if you will, guys. Sing it again with all of our heart. Yes, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died. Sing it again one more time with all your heart. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view that old rugged cross died for me. Saw my need. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer requests. We've got several things. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Sister Connie Badillo offers this testimony. I put in a prayer request last Wednesday for a friend of mine who was suffering from a kidney stone. And she got rid of that thing the next day. And she wants to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Connie says, I also want to thank the Lord for healing me on Sunday from a stomach issue that I have had for years. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Sister Linda Phillips needs prayer for back pain tonight. Let's pray for her as we go before the Lord. Brother Matt Carter says to please pray for Dwight Blankenship. He has heart trouble, had a stroke, still some weakness in his side. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Lou Bean says to please remember my mother Shirley Jones in prayer. She's having severe sciatic nerve pain. We want to commit that unto the Lord tonight. This is Sister Jolie Kingambi. I hope I got that name close to right. I'm a member of Happy Valley Church, streaming from Rochester, New York. Please pray for me as I have been looking for work for some time now. She's asking that she could find work, so let's pray on her behalf tonight. I want to please pray for Sister Marie Kennard, who is having problems with a nerve in her face. It's causing complications, so we want to pray for that need tonight. The Lord will be mindful of her. Sister Jan Hall sends us in to please pray for Brother Gary Hall, who is having a tumor removed from the back of his head this Friday morning. So they're asking we would remember that need. Brother Joel Moyer sends us in to please pray for my wife, who had surgery about a month ago. She's never fully recovered, losing weight, can't keep food down, unable to really take care of the children, the family. Also pray that we can get her daughter back from the state. Also pray for a job situation. He's just seeking job security in his place of employment. So just commit all these things unto the Lord tonight. I want to pray for James Jones, who's suffering from pancreatitis. Brenda Vasek with rheumatoid arthritis. Faye Rittenauer with kidney problems. Jack Kirkpatrick for healing of severe burns, but mostly for his salvation. Sister Peggy Kirkpatrick from Missouri sends that in. So let's remember those needs tonight. Please remember Sister Sharon Ward in prayer. Very, very sick in body. So we certainly want to continue to remember Sister Sharon, Brother Rocky, the family, that the Lord would just be mindful of those folks. Brother Terry Stockton sends this in, asks the church to pray for a severe infection in my left hand. The Lord knows all about that need. I want to pray for Brother Charlie Torres, who fell and fractured his jaw. So let's remember Brother Charlie tonight as we pray. Sister Lisa Davis says that her sister had back surgery. It went well. She is now in a nursing home for rehab and therapy, running a fever and coughing. Please pray that she can get well. So we want to remember that need tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs tonight you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe God's able? Yeah. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Wes, if you'd come, take us to the Lord on behalf of these needs tonight.
Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Lord, I want to thank you for the testimonies of healing that we heard tonight, Lord, when Brother Louis started. And Lord, I want to thank you that when we come before you with our requests, and there's many here tonight, pain and suffering on many levels, and heart trouble, nerve trouble, back trouble, all kinds of things that come against us, Lord, we know that it's such a relief, Father, when we know that we can come to you and you're not sitting there just with a cold heart looking at us, you know, out of the corner of your eye, not wanting to hear all our requests, but you're waiting. You're longing for us to bring our requests to you, Lord. Lord, you look at each one of us with such mercy and tenderness and love, Lord. And you just want your body to come together and agree and pray and apply our faith to these requests, Lord, so that you can be unchained to just show us who you are and reveal yourself, Lord, as our healer and our provider. Everything from back pain, Lord, to our sister who desperately is seeking employment, Lord. You care about each one of these needs. Lord, I believe with all my heart, and I know, Lord, that you're just waiting to answer each one of these in your own way and according to your will. And Lord, I know that we can fully trust in that. We can put everything we've got, we can lay it all on the line, Lord, and say that we can trust you with each one of these things. Lord, there's people who are going through things, and you know some of these requests are so serious. You're there with them, Lord. You see them in their pain. You see them, Lord, when they think they're all alone and nobody cares. And Lord, you're just waiting there to wrap your arms around them and show them who you are and reveal yourself through this trial. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you care for us in that way. Lord, we thank you for the way you reveal yourself through your word. The way that you give us gifts like these musicians, Lord. Lord, there's people who would pay lots of money to come and hear musicians like these. Lord, there's great speakers who get paid millions, literally millions of dollars, Lord, for their speeches that mean nothing and come to nothing and just are vanity. And we've got a servant of God who's going to come out here tonight, Lord, and get out of the way so that you can speak to our hearts, so that you can reveal yourself in truth here tonight. Lord, we're so fortunate. We thank you so much for you just being what you are to us. Our Father, our mighty God, our Deliverer, our everything, Lord. You're everything to us. And we just appreciate it and love you so much, Lord. And we just want to worship you the way you deserve to be worshiped, Lord. And we just want to bow before you tonight and give you all the praise and the glory for everything that you're going to do in these situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Now, there's a couple of requests that was under another piece of paper, and I didn't find it, but I believe it was last Wednesday night, Brother Joel Yachts requested prayer for a little boy by the name of Jeremiah, 18 years old, that had accidentally had glue put in his eyes, thought it was eye drops. Well, that little boy has made a 100% recovery, and they want to praise the Lord for that tonight. Doctor said one eye is perfect. There's got a little scratch on one of these other eyes, but they're anticipating a 100% recovery in that, and they want to praise the Lord with all of their heart. Amen. Also, Sister Mary Anthony going to be delivering a baby this coming Friday. They're going to take the child, and they're just asking that we would pray that all would go well during that procedure there in Texas. So God is good, isn't he? You know, there was a pool in the Bible. The angel would come down and trouble the waters. Ever who got in got their need met. I believe Sunday morning there's some folks got their needs met. I believe the pool was troubled, don't you? I believe God Almighty showed up. Do you believe that with all your heart? Amen. It's amazing what can take place through the preaching of the word of the Lord. And when people's hearts are made up that they're going to accept it, if it skins them, they're going to accept it. If it blesses them, they're going to accept it. Whatever it does to them, they're willing to accept it. I praise God that we've got spirits like that, that we're willing to accept what God has for us. Are you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Before we sing, let's sing this little chorus tonight. Before we sing what we was going to sing, let's sing this little chorus tonight. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I said, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. We're gonna tear Oh, Satan's kingdom down. Oh, you're gonna tear. Oh, Satan's kingdom down. You're gonna tear. Oh, Satan's kingdom down. You're gonna tear. Oh, Satan's kingdom down. I know, Satan, your kingdom is coming down. I know, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Yes, it is. And oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. Amen. Praise the Lord. Have we received the offering yet? We did, didn't we? Let me make this announcement. The only way I can tell is if I look and they're gone. Amen. The youth banquet. Remember that. The youth banquet is going to be on June the 24th. So don't forget that. We'll be making that announcement more and more as time goes by. But don't forget the youth banquet on June the 24th. Let's sing a song tonight. Now, we talked about Satan a minute ago. And he's defeated. His kingdom's coming down. We are winners. We're victors. We act like losers 98% of the time, but we're winners. We are winners. I refuse to lose. Second place is the first loser. We're not second place Christians. We are winners. Look at somebody and say, are you a winner? Now give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Then sings my soul. Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Oh, how great thou art. Sing with everything you got. Then sings my soul, my Savior God. Brother Joel Brown, if both of you come onto the platform.
Sings my
Blessed be the Lord. Thank you for singing so good tonight. God bless you. Brother Joel, come on and give us a song tonight. You can be seated.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be the house of the Lord. It's good to know where the house of the Lord is. Amen. I want to sing a song that, and my sister Connie Badillo, she's been after me, and I'm not ready to do that one tonight. And I tell people all the time, as someone, I'll just say it, I say it all the time, I don't consider myself a singer, just someone who sings, but and as someone who sings, there are certain artists, certain singers that I don't touch. And Sister Connie has asked me to do one of one of my favorite songwriters, Fred Hammond. Some of you may know him, but I'm not ready to do that one. But back during the winter, it was on a Tuesday evening, and it was when the first severe cold snap hit. I mean, it was bitter cold, and that cold front was moving in. My wife and sons were out, and they had a little bit of an accident. I was at work. I get the phone call, and I couldn't get to them quick enough, and so I called. I'm not going to say who it is, but this family means a lot to my family. We love them dearly. But I made a phone call, and they got to her before I could get there, and I came later. And as I was talking to the sister that was there, and just God's help, so just so wonderful, God's people. As I was talking to her, she mentioned this song, and it's one that I'm going to just do it a cappella tonight. And if I mess up, it'll just be me. You won't have to worry about the musicians. But it's a song. It's my anthem. It means a lot to me. How many humans do we have in the building tonight? Good. Praise the Lord. You will identify with this song. And I know, as Brother Donnie read that quote about dancing a jig, before you even receive your healing, before there was even a thing called grace, there was a thing called grace. And that's what led that child back home, that prodigal. That's what allowed that woman to find that coin. That's what allowed that sheep to be found. And I'm going to shut up and sing. So, but just identify with this, brother and sister human. Listen to the words. Don't listen to me. Listen to the words. Time measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven could be gained, just to end where I'd began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise. express with all my heart. Offer to my friend who took my place and ran this race I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much this love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. And I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race, were it not for grace.
Amen.
Breathe and leave a trail of galaxies and dream of me. What kind of love is writing my story till the end with mercy's pen? Only you. What kind of king would choose to wear a crown that bleeds and scars to win my heart? And what kind of love tells me I'm the reason he can't stay inside the grave? You. Is it standing here before my eyes? Every part of my heart cries a lie, a lie. Look what mercy's overcome. Death has lost and love has won. A lie, a lie. Hallelujah, risen Lord, the only one not far before. I am his because he is alive. Who could speak and send the demons back from where they came with just one name? And what a other heart would let itself be broken every time till he healed mine. You. only you could turn my darkness into dawn, running right into your arms, alive, alive. Look what mercy's overcome. Death has lost and love is won. Alive, alive. Hallelujah, risen Lord, the only one I fall before. I am His because He is Emmanuel, the King of Kings, the baby who made angels sing, the Son of Man who walked in us, healing, breathing in our dust, the author of all histories, the answer to all mysteries, the Lamb of God who rolled away the stone in front of every grave. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Alive, alive. Look what mercy's overcome. Death has lost and love. Alive, alive. Hallelujah, risen Lord, the only one I fought before. I am His because He is alive, alive, alive. I am His because He
songs tonight. Let's stand, if you will. Time to go on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. We're going to pray for our pastor tonight. We're going to receive the word of the Lord, aren't we? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus tonight. I know that Jesus is a way maker. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight?
PMG probably.
I know my Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day He made a way for me. I know my Jesus is a way maker. Is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day He made a way for me. And now one day the sun refused to shine down in this sinful heart of mine. I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. Then He heard my humble prayer, and He answered right then and there. One day He made a way for, and He's still making them today.
Where would we be tonight if He hadn't made a way?
Amen.
over and over and over again. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 6. Let Reuben live and not die. Let not his men be few. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, and let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word. I know this sounds complicated to you, and you're wondering, where in the world does all this lead? But it's just as clear as crystal. Once it's explained. For they have observed thy word and have kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. And we love the Lord with all your heart and say amen to the word. Not to be remembered in prayers. We approach him before we speak to his, just ask his presence. Dear blessed Father, what an honor it is for us, Lord Jesus, that we can be gathered together again in your great presence. We know as Gentiles, nationality speaking, at one time the only place we could have come would have been the outer court, that place which was forbidden only to the Jews that was come into the holy place and the second holy place and the holiest of holies. As Gentiles, we would have had to have been on the outside looking in, wondering what was going on. But how grateful we are tonight, Lord, to know that we are in the secret place. As a matter of fact, we are the secret place. We're so grateful to know that your presence is abiding with us today. Lord, you saw the needs of your people that were uplifted. Heavenly Father, I have this prayer cloth in my hand. Lord, you know all the details. You know the situation, Father. Only you can be able to move and move in a way, Lord God, that none could hinder. And I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, may your blessings just go with us. I pray that you'd speak to us tonight from your word. May we be benefited by our gathering together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Aren't you happy we can come to church on Wednesday night?
Amen.
I know of so many different churches around the world that can't have church because they don't have a building or, you know, whatever. The people quit coming, basically. So some preachers quit having church on Wednesday because they won't come, which makes no sense to me. You know, you have it for those who want to be there.
Amen.
Right. If you keep applying it that way, then you get to a place where you won't have church at all because the devil will make sure. But you know what? I figure we have it. Those of who want to come, they come. The ones who want to stay at the house, they stay at the house. We have church without them. That's right. When God saved me many, many years ago, he put a desire in my heart to go to the house of God. Aren't you glad he done you the same way? Many others feel exactly the same way, cannot be here. We know that tonight. But how grateful I am that we can come and we have a desire to be here. To hear what the Lord has to say. To me, I'm not sure how you take going to church, but I figure if God has a servant there, that servant is anointed, he's called of God, he's prayed, he's done everything he knows to do, then the Spirit of God will anoint that man to bring something from heaven. Not just to rehearse something that he's practiced on his wife or his children, but something that God himself knows that we have need of. To me, this is the way I come to church every time I come to the house of God. And I believe tonight is exactly that very same way. Now, you imagine as the prophet Moses enters into this last day or so of his life. God is going to crown his ministry, even though he's had failures and mistakes, but God is going to allow him to see the promised land. He's just venturing now to say the very last blessing, tribal blessings on the people of God. And before he goes, God's going to let him give exactly the utterance prophetically that will come to pass for the people of God. No doubt, as a man, there was things in these blessings that Moses had to say that he wished he didn't have to say. No doubt there was things he wished he could have uttered in a different way. But that's the thing with prophecy. We cannot change it. I'm sure Jeremiah wished there was things that he didn't have to say, and Ezekiel and all the rest of the prophets. I guarantee you, our prophet of this day had to say things he wished he did not have to say. There's things about this nation of ours, I can assure you, Brother Branham, as a man, wished he did not have to say. But as a prophet, he had to say what God wanted him to say, whether he wanted to say it or not. And you imagine, as Moses is going to give the particular blessing to some it will be so wonderful, it will be so outstanding what God will say. To others, he won't hardly say anything. To Reuben, he'll say, well, let them live and don't let them die and don't let their men be a few. Of Simeon, he won't even mention his name at all. Of Judah, he'll say great things. Minorly, everybody would have wished they'd been born in the tribe of Judah. Coming down to Levi, things that he would say that you think, is there any hope if you're even born under the tribal banner of Levi? And no doubt there was things that was disappointing somewhat. Maybe they listened to the words of Jacob and they knew what their forefather had said. And maybe thinking, maybe something has happened that God will now turn this thing around. Notice they heard the prophecy uttered again from the lips of Moses, even though it might have been worded a little bit different, but you find it following the same train of thought. So it must have been somewhat discouraging, somewhat letting down in the sense of, why? I wish it could have been better. I wish that it could have been more uplifting to what God would have done for us. You know, I think about our own selves, that we think when we stand before him at that day, and we believe that the bride will certainly miss a tribulation period. But I believe that each of us are aware enough to know that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to see whether you are judged worthy to go in the bride or not, or to be in the rapture or not, because the choosing of God by election will already prove that you were worthy for that. But each of us will stand there that day and give an account, and that we will stand there and the rewards will be given out. That now is not done by grace. That is not done by election, but that is done by the works of God that each of you have done in your life according to the grace and the election of God that was given to you. Now, none of us can go beyond what God has made us to be, we know. But there should be something in every one of us that desire to do everything we can with what ability God has given us. So when we stand there that day, we will not stand there empty-handed, that we will stand there with full accountability that we've done everything that we knew to do. If you were a housewife and God put children under your care, then you feel like, God, I've done everything I knew to do. I made mistakes. I fell short of the glory of God, but Lord, I do everything that I knew to do. God, I was a singer. God, I wasn't the type of singer that maybe everybody wanted to hear all the time, but I sung every now and then when I was a blessing. Lord, I was a preacher. I wasn't a convention preacher. I wasn't a preacher that got great invitations to go here and there and there. I just preached on the occasion. But when they asked me to preach, I'd done my very best. Lord, I was a deacon. Lord, I was a trustee. I was this or that. Now, you realize that each one of us are going to answer to the Lord that day. That is not by election. That is not that God ordained you to have this certain reward. But each of us will give an account according to the deeds done in the body. You see, many times it's those little things that God himself does not tell you necessarily to do, but that God himself wants you to do without his direct bidding. It's that something that you know as a child of God, it should be programmed in you to pray for others, to encourage others, to be able to lift others up in prayer. You should not have to be told by the preacher or by God himself to do that. It should should be something in you as a child of God that you know. Those are the things that will stand before the Lord that day, and the account will be given, and the rewards will be great for those who desire to do it. Now, can you imagine if you have to be told all the time, pray, read your Bible, pray, read your Bible, come to church, pay your tithes, do this, do this, do this, do this. And when you stand before God, all you have to present to the throne of God is those things that you've done because you were told to do it. And you stand there before the Lord, and there's hardly nothing that you did out of your own choice. You know what? The Word tells me to pray for my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to do it. The Word tells me to be an encouragement. The Word tells me to try to lift up my brothers, and the Word tells me to do that. I'm going to do it with all my heart. I'm not waiting on Brother Donnie to call me or text me or pick up the phone or tell the deacons. It's in my responsibility as a child of God. Oh my, what's the matter, folks? Those are things that we will stand there at that day, and we will give an account to God, and each of us will not be judged in the sense, as I said, of being worthy to be the bride, but we will stand there and give an account on this life. Remember, Brother Bam saw it in a dream when he saw those people coming up and they were getting their rewards. Now, you will be known and identified in eternity, of course, as being a son or daughter of God, but then also by the placing of the reward. Now, position we're placed in Christ Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when we get there that day, there'll be men of God that'll stand there. My, we'll rejoice with them for the sacrifices that they've made. All kinds of people that's done all kinds of things for the kingdom of God that we never even knew anything about. Folks that you went to church with, and they done this and that and the other, and hardly nobody done nothing about it. Don't worry, it's all written down. One day we'll know about it then. And then the Lord will bless them, and a true person does it anyway. They don't do it for reward. They don't do it for the sake of everybody knowing that they do it. They do it because it's something in the heart. They want to minister to the body. Right? And then the great reckoning day, when the book of remembrance will be open, and we will be, of course, given account for those things, and it will not be the, well, are you going to be judged worthy to go to heaven? You have already been judged in Christ Jesus as far as your salvation. But that has nothing to do with your reward. Now remember, there will be people that will stand there before the Lord that day. According to the scripture, Paul says they will be judged and they will suffer loss so as by fire. There will be people out here in the denominational system, and they have sacrificed and done this and this and this, and much of that will absolutely be perished in the fire of God's judgment. Yet according to what Paul said, they themselves will be saved, yet so as by fire. So their works will be gone and they will be saved. They'll come into the city of God, and they will be allowed to come and go and live outside the city, and they'll have not hardly any reward at all, because their works, their foundation, their doctrine, their stability, it could not pass through the fire. This is why we must have the identification of the revealed word of this hour to make sure that our works, everything that we do, will pass through the fiery judgment of God. If it does, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. But would it be awful to live a life and even say give your life on a foreign field and use some sort of denomination or something or another? Or you sacrifice this and that and the other, and yet when you bring your ministry or you bring your life's work up before the Word of God and it would not pass through the Word, then you've done this and you've done that, and you're standing there saying, boy, I'm going to get this great reward for doing this and that and the other, but yet your reward, your works would not tally out. So there's not hardly any reward other than eternal life. So you stand there and say, Lord, I've done this in your name and I've done that, but he said your works would not pass through the fire of the revealed word. You have suffered total loss of all that you have done. Yet you will be saved so as by fire. My goodness, friends, y'all didn't know this? I tell you, this ought to make us, as the people of God, want to do more and more and more for the economy of God. Now look, we don't do it on the basis of, well, I want to do something so I'll get something at that day. You want to do it because you're a child of God. And then God, with the right motive and the right objective it being done, look, we can do all kinds of things. As Paul said, I could give my body to be burned, but if I don't do it out of love, then it profiteth me nothing. You could give all your goods to feed the poor, but if you don't do it in the right channel, we cannot work. Well, I want to work because I want a big crown. I want to work because I want a big reward at that day. We don't do it for that purpose. We do it because it's born in us as the children of God. But we don't have to sit around and be coaxed all the time. Well, read your Bible. Pray. Say a good word to somebody. Do this. Reach out your hand to somebody. Shame on us if we've got to be told every one of those things to be done. It ought to be so inside of us and instilled in us by divine nature that it comes to us automatically. And the saints said, because it's something in us, we are like Christ. Christ did not have to be told to do all the good works. He did not have to be told to do many of the things that he done. It was in his nature. So was it with Paul, Peter, James, Bartholomew, all the rest of the elected down through the age. Now, whenever we look at the blessing here of the tribes of Israel, what we'll see is much of what is going to be handed down to generation after generation after generation was by the founding fathers that God called these 12 men. And they would be the ones that would, under the birth pass of the tribe, the tribal order, they would hand down by their behavior and their conduct the blessing that would be outlived for many, many generations to come. Now, if they obeyed God and done things that was right and true, then their generation after generation after generation would inherit the blessing of God. If they did things that was wrong, as Reuben did. Now, all of these men done things that was wrong, but there was a difference in the degree of sin by which they did wrong. And we know that God looks at it exactly the same way today. And whenever then that these tribal leaders would do certain things, they could either pass on the blessing of God down to their children's children, or they would pass down the curse which God had placed upon their behavior and the sin that they did, and it would pass it right on down to them. But as we'll find tonight, by the grace of God, there could also be a way by which those that was living seemingly under something that you'd never be able to break, that God would be able to anoint men even without much of a promise. You see, to be born in the tribe of Judah, it would have been a real victorious type of thing because you had so many promises that were for your tribe. It seemed like everything was coming your way. But can you imagine being born in the tribe of Reuben? Can you imagine being born in the tribe of Simeon or the tribe of Levi? Now here you're born in the tribe of Levi, yet you feel inspired to do something for God, but it seems as if though the prophetic utterance that has been made to your tribe from your prophet is nothing but negativism. But yet you feel inspired to do something for God. So what are you going to do? Now to a carnal-minded person, they would look at the prophecy of Jacob and think, well, I'm born in the tribe of Levi. I'll never amount to nothing. There ain't no need for me to try. There ain't no need for me to put forth no effort. But yet something's pulsating you. Something's moving you. Something is inspiring you. So what do you do? Well, it really depends on who you are. Now, the carnal, natural makeup of man would be just to receive back and say, well, I'm a church member. I'll never amount to nothing. The word's against me. I mean, what can I say? The prophet of God said, Levi will be scattered amongst the people. And it don't look like there's no way in the world for us to ever get above it. So what if the Bible calls your family name? What if the Bible said there'll be a man whose name is Jim Babb, and he'll have a wife named Linda, a son named Scott. They'll never amount to much of anything. And God would say some particular things, yet Brother Jim felt inspired to serve God. Now, if God said both of these things, it's up to God to work both of these things out and make them dovetail one into the other. You see, if God is pulling on your heart, no matter what your family's done, it's a strain in my family, Brother Donnie. All the men commit adultery. Well, maybe God wants to break the cycle with you.
Well, it's in my family. None of them has got the Holy Ghost. All of them just wishy-washy. Maybe God wants to break that cycle with you. You see, if God is inspiring your life and it's truly God, then no matter what you've inherited from your parents, your grandparents, or whatever more, the Spirit of God does not make mistakes. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at Judah. Judah, chapter 33, verse 7 of Deuteronomy. And this is the blessing of Judah. Now, just imagine yourself. You're born in the tribe of Judah. And boy, and you're hearing these blessings. And I'm telling you what, you're smiling from here to here. Oh, my, the blessing of the Lord's coming to you. You don't fully understand it all yet. But you just tell from the sound of what Moses is saying, you're the tribe. You are it. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Now, it seems very peculiar to me that the prophet of God would start out the blessing of God upon this certain tribe, but he starts it out with a petition. Instead of saying it's going to be this way and this way and this way, listen how he says it. And this is the blessing of Judah, he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. So I wonder sometimes if we actually recognize the fullness of all of our blessings. You see, blessings aren't always things that's right there before you. Blessings aren't always things that are tangible. But sometimes blessings might come in the form of a prayer which projects the idea that it's going to be a struggle to get these prayers answered. Now, if it was going to be an automatic something, well, every time Judah prays, their prayers is going to be answered. There ain't no question about it. But instead of this, the blessing is incorporated with a petition. Oh, I hope somebody's hearing me tonight. So here, this is the blessing of Judah, that God would hear the prayer of Judah. So if it's going to automatically be answered, and Judah, well, just whenever Judah prays, my, it don't matter the difference which one of them is. It's just automatically going to be there. It doesn't sound like to me that it's going to be quite that easy. If it was, why do you need to incorporate this petition in with this blessing? Unless the petition is part what makes the blessing. Oh, I wonder how many petition blessings that we've got in our own lives and don't even recognize them, and for the most part don't even want them. Oh, we want them. Yay, thou be blessed. Yay, you're going to get a new car. Yay, you're going to get a new saddle horse. Yay, you're going to get a new yacht. Yay, you're going to get this. Yay, get away from that false prophet. Amen. Get away from a guy that tells you that kind of stuff. That's all America wants and recognizes, blessings. But sometimes blessings have petitions in them. And sometimes blessings evolve struggle. Do you see what this verse is? It is a blessing involving struggle. How many wants this kind of blessing? Oh, what a thought. Yeah, exactly what I thought. This is why this needs to be preached. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Now, if you come up for me to bless you and lay my hands on you, or if I stand and I perform a wedding and I pray a blessing, and I pray, oh, God, keep them together. Oh, God, don't let him lose his car. Oh, God. That couple ain't going to enjoy one moment of their honeymoon. They're going to be scared to death that the Lord has showed me something's going to happen. And they're going to think, oh, dear God, what in the world is going on? Now, you imagine you're hearing this prophet. He said, Lord, this is a blessing to Judah. I want you to hear him. And they're thinking, hear us? You mean there's a possibility he might not? What do you mean, Moses? Hear us. What does this mean? In this, he's displaying a struggle. Isn't it amazing that Judah was the most praying of all the tribes? You read in Samuel, and you read in Chronicles, and you read in Kings, and you read how many of the kings that come in the tribe of Judah. And how many of them at their prayer was when God would come on the scene? Asa, Hezekiah, David, over and over and over again. But you see, a praying people, to ask this blessing on a praying people is really not that hard. It's to ask this blessing on a people who don't pray. But he's not asking this on a people that is a prayerless tribe. Praise God. I hope Happy Valley is a praying church. Now, this is, of course, the compound meaning that lies in the verse here, and we've already looked at it last week, that Judah was the monarch tribe. Even though the tribe of Judah was listed second by birth, Judah was the fourth in the lineage to be born. Now, watch. In Genesis 49:8, Jacob said it this way about Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hands shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy children's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art God. Up, he stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Showing now the dispensational changes from youth to maturity. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Now here again enters into the monarch or the princely prophecy of the tribe that Jacob gives. But when it comes to Moses now, Moses words it and just a little bit different way. Notice he says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, or in English terms, Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now watch this compound meaning of how that Moses describes it in Deuteronomy. Moses says it, bring him unto his people. But Jacob says, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So it shows them that Judah will be a rallying point. It's also prophetically speaking of the lion of the tribe of Judah, which was Christ. But yet Judah will not be given the priesthood. Some in the body are given to be joined to, or glued to, or enjoined to in the body in order to bring deity and humanity on a closer plane. Others are given into the body, and they also are given for a purpose of union or joining, but they are given for the purpose of joining together to fight. And that's what Judah was given for. What for? Fight. Lead the people in war. And out of Judah will come the king. Watch now. Verse 11. Binding his foal under the vine, his ass his colt under the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Listen now. And wine and in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. Now, of course, in this again is the compound meaning, of course, the Lord Jesus was the one who tread the winepress of the wrath of God alone. But it's also speaking naturally of Judah, where his place will be in the land of Canaan. So that they will live in the hill country, and the vine will do very, very well there, naturally speaking. So also the cattle will do well in this part of the country, so they will have milk, which will whiten their teeth. They will have wine, which will, of course, be able to bring them stimulation, make the streaks in their eyes, and so on. But whenever it really comes to the supernatural part, it is under the utterance of Moses. Watch now, Deuteronomy 33:7. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. Now, what's Judah going to say? Judah's going to pray. Judah's going to praise. Judah's going to confess. I want you to notice now how that in the family of God, as these tribes are given, each one of these tribes had a certain makeup about it, a certain characteristic and traits that was imputed into the entirety of the tribe, and the mingling of those tribes together made the children of Israel. Now, Judah could not be Levi. Levi could not be Issachar. car. It's a car cannot be damned, so on and so on and so on. But yet God made them, everyone being diverse, blended them all together and made them called the children of Israel. I wonder if we could understand the same thing spiritually. That there are some that's very, very fiery, preachers I'm talking about. Some that are more scholarly, more intellectual. There's some, even in the laity, some that are very, very strong passion. Boy, they're emotional and they clap their hands and make the walls ring. Others just kind of stand there like this and they're doing with all their heart. But, you know, they're just not making quite as much noise. And if we're not careful, what we tend to do is judge each other by us, of course, because we are the prime example. And then we will judge each other by us instead of letting God be the diverse God that He is and placing us all in this congregation and let every one of us be a little bit different from the other. Amen. Come on now, children. And that's exactly what He done with the children of Israel. You don't need everybody to be a Judah. You don't need everybody to be a Levi. You don't need everybody to be a Gad, a Issachar, Ephraim, Manasseh. But you need different ones that'll do different things and different functions for different purposes according to the same principle of God. Oh, I wish we could find that. I just can't keep from believing the bride will before she leaves. I don't believe there'll be one speck of jealousy and no preachers that's going in the rapture. I don't believe there'll be one speck of jealousy and no singers in this message that's going in the rapture. Oh my, hear Lord. So Judah was this confessing, praying, praising, loud, Pentecostal, shouting tribe. Now, no doubt from some of the rest of them, we can see if we read the scriptures about them, that they was not the leaders. Now, can you imagine that you get this low, dynamic sort of guy? You're facing this terrible enemy, and you call on whoever. And he comes up now, we can do it. Rah, rah, rah. We can do it. Rah, rah, rah. Everybody with me? Everybody make sure now that you've got your white flag for surrender just in case the battle goes bad. I don't want that guy leading me. So what do you want? You want a guy getting up there. Look, Israel, we can do this. Maybe they're standing there kind of shaking in their boots and, oh man, I don't know if we can do it or not. I don't know. But oh boy, these guys' words, you can tell he believes what he's saying. And before long, I mean, you're standing there rattling your sword. While ago, it was your knee rattling against the side of it. You're shaking and quivering. But now, you're rattling your sword in the saber. You say, come on, you Philistine. I'll cut your tongue out of your head. Come on, you devil. Come on. Why? Because God sent a leader that had the ability of that spirit to be able not to stir the people to emotion now, but actually stir to reality. Amen. Judah is going to be this type. Now, but even though God will hear Judah pray, in the implication of the prayer, the prophecy here, Moses implying that there will be delays and there will be times that Judah will pray and it won't happen exactly when Judah thinks that it should. But Judah is a praying people. So they pray whether they see answers or whether they don't. They pray whether they feel God or whether they don't. You know, a real person who's a real worshiper worships God with or without feeling. Amen. A real preacher that's called of God preaches with or without the anointing, preferably with it and a whole lot of it. But if he comes into dry spots, he preaches right on anyhow. Why? He's called of God. Now, Judah must be the type to where that they will lead. So Moses prays effectively according to the divine understanding of God. But no doubt he himself didn't even understand what the man was saying. Pondering and thinking, Lord, what am I saying? Lord, anoint my words. God, give me the words to say. You imagine as he's saying these words, this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient. Bring him to his people. Why is this important? He's the one who leads them out. So you want a man that can not only get you out there, but hopefully get you back. Lord, bring him back to his people. What's Moses praying for? Good fights, good wars, victories, and safe returns home. Now, in doing this, because Judah is joined up with the rest of the children of Israel, when God answers this blessing to the tribe of Judah, all the rest of the other tribes will be blessed accordingly. I've said it before, if you are not into the right frame of mind to see your brother or your sister blessed, even blessed above and beyond you, then you're not ready yourself to be blessed. Amen. You see, if we could take this and dissect it, well, it ain't fair. He didn't pray that way for Issachar. But if God answers this prayer, Issachar will return safely with him. Why, they were a family. Oh, children, don't you see? It's not that this preacher can become so big and this singer can become the biggest one. What difference does all of that make? We are a body. We are a family. And if the body is ministered to, isn't that what it's all about? Whether I preach to you and you're ministered to and helped to, or one of these other brothers preach it, does it matter if it's me or not? Does it matter if someone gets up and sings and they're not your favorite singer, and yet God may have chose to anoint them that night to be a blessing? Amen. Are you going to sit there and pout because it wasn't your favorite singer, or are you going to be blessed? Amen. Oh my. I don't know, mind telling you, I'm hoggish when it comes to blessings. I want every one I've got my name on it. If you don't want yours, I'll take yours too. Fine, if you don't want yours, shove them over my way. I'll be so fat and waddling out of here, I'll look like a 3-ton crybaby. I'll be so fat of the blessings of God and full of them. You don't want them, send them my way. You don't want anointing, you don't want revelation, I'll take every bit you don't want. Praise the Lord. I want everything I can get from God. Oh, hallelujah. Bring him to his people. Bring him back in peace. Bring him back. Let his hands be sufficient. Now, what's he praying for? Let his hands be sufficient in what? Fighting, killing.
Yeah. Think about it. Amen.
If God calls a preacher in our midst that's called to be rough and maybe deal with things, most of the preachers in the message pray you'll shut up. Not pray God will bless him. Why? He's going to get us all in trouble. If he don't have us, he's going to do this and do that and the other. Well, glory to God. If God's called somebody to do that, we need it apparently, or God wouldn't send it. So what shall we pray? For those who have international voices that reach out and do this and that and the other, may their hands be sufficient. Look, friend, I don't care if we win the last one. I don't care if we're the ones who brings them in. I don't care who brings them in. I don't care if it's an Asian, an African, a Malaysian, or whatever more it is. As long as they come in and we can get out of this place, that's what I want. I don't care if Happy Valley has the most. They've done this or that. What difference does that make anyhow? We are a family of God. So what do? We pray for those that go out. Pray that God will bring them back in. We pray their hands will be sufficient. Their gifts will be sufficient. Why? So we can leave. Amen. Praise God. Now, what's the consummation of this verse? I noticed this evening as I sat and studying this. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou.
Amen.
Every one of these blessings is a request, another request, and another request, and another request. Would you consider that a blessing? Or would you consider that a request and a request and another request and another request? And I'm bothering God. Not the way God looks at it, it's a blessing.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Some of you all are blessed that you have to pray for God to help you in your finances. You see, we tend to think that only those who don't have to ask God to help them and their finances are blessed. You need to reread the book. Some of you are blessed that you have to pray that God will give you strength to get through the trial. I never need strength, Brother Donnie, then you're not even saved, more than likely. Well, hallelujah. I'm sorry, this is not what y'all expected tonight, sorry. I mean, you can try to change my channel if you want. I don't come with a remote. This is where we're staying. You see, it's a blessing many times whenever God will pour this out upon our lives that we have to pray, oh God, please help me, oh God, help me. It's hard for me to acknowledge it maybe, and I wish sometimes it wasn't even so, but it's a blessing for me to stand back there and pace that office floor like a mad dog before I come out every service. You say, why is that a blessing? So it keeps me from getting exalted and thinking I can do it myself. It's a blessing, Brother Joe. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for you to acknowledge, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you every morning. Lord, I need you every night. You say, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. If you've got situations in your home and your family that you don't know what to do, maybe it's the blessing of God. Amen. Well, glory. Some of y'all are going to walk here tonight and say, Lord, I didn't realize I was so blessed after all. Go ahead, open up your wallet. I give you a chance right now. Go ahead and open up your wallet right now. Look at it. You ain't got an Abraham Lincoln. You ain't got that new woman they're fixing to put on there. You ain't got one thing in there. Say, praise God, I'm blessed. No, in this modern day thinking, you got to have at least 500, 25, 50s, and 32, 20s, and on down. Man, am I blessed. Don't you understand? That's Laodicea. That's not Bible. These people, the prophet of God is asking for a blessing on this people. And the blessing is that they'll struggle. But they'll come through every struggle. Amen. Notice again how he says this now. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah. And bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him. And be thou and help to him from his what? I'm going to tell you one thing. Being the lion tribe don't always mean you just stand there and shake your mane and roar. And everybody runs away. You're going to have more enemies than all the rest. And your prayer was filled with petitions. Your blessing. But remember who's praying now. And remember who's speaking. A prophet of God under the direction of thus saith the Lord. The struggle will be there. But this prayer will also be answered. You see, according to the greatness of destiny must also be the measure of responsibility. The bigger role that a person or a church or a group plays in the economy of God, the more responsibility is laid upon them. It's not just that they know more people and more people hear their tapes and more people's on their mailing list and all this and that and the other. That's the easy side. With Judah's position, his destiny is large. And with it comes such responsibility. If Judah don't go out and go out faithfully, it can affect thousands of others. And the church said, oh my, give him strength, God. Now Judah's tough. Judah's strong. But this blessing is going to incorporate in the ages and generations to come that Judah in his strengths needs to ask for strength
from God. Don't never think Happy Valley, we're strong, we're this, that, the other. We're setting ourselves up for a fall. Oh, bless God, we're sitting under this man worse no devil can ever get. Don't you never believe any such thing. We have a church full of human beings, full of mistake makers. You got one in the pulpit. You got deacons that are mistake makers. You got every preacher here, the mistake maker. Every one of us is a potential target for the devil to try to bust this church up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Donnie, we're a strong church. I believe that as well. But our strength is only in the Lord God. Amen. Our strength is not in me. It is not in you. It is not in our number. It is in Him. Glory. Judah, though strong, must recognize their strength comes from God. I know I'm a strong preacher. I realize I am. You know I am. You know I'm not a compromiser. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not strong in myself. In myself, I'm a weakling. I'm puny. I'm feeble. I'm a peacemaker. I'd rather go the easy way than cause trouble. See, most of y'all don't believe that about me because you don't know me. All you've seen is me roar. My head's off. But my nature, don't tell me God ain't got a sense of humor. When I went to school, I hated homework. I hardly ever brought a book home because I hated homework. I taught myself to speed read fast so I could finish all my homework at school so I wouldn't have to do homework. You've got a sense of humor, sir. Now I study nearly every day of my life. Homework. Don't you understand why I do it? I'm not studying so that I can gain more knowledge than the other man. I'm studying to try to find something to preach to get you out of this world. I'm studying for your good. I'm studying, Brother Larry, so we can pass the ultimate test. The ultimate test is those who can change from mortal to immortal. Since Judah led in battle, he needs this particular wording in this blessing. Watch in Numbers chapter 2 verse 9. And all that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000 and 80,000 and 6,400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth. So this is what in modern terminology would be called cannon fodder. So if you're born in the tribe of Judah, whether or not you want to, whether or not you like it, you're thrown in the front lines. Praise the Lord. Now what if you're a coward at heart? But yet you was born in the tribe of Judah, but flesh. You ain't going to tell me there wasn't people like that. No more than we are. What if you was a coward by heart? And you couldn't help it. By your heart, by your nature, you was just a coward. When the enemy come, you just passed out. You come to after the battle. Did we win? Are we captives? Are we slaves? You think every one of these people, because they're born in Judah, naturally this come this way? I guarantee you it wasn't. There was no doubt some of them that said, God help me. Just like you and I. The word may say we're this and this and this and this. Yet the human part of us may say, God, I don't want to do this. No, Lord, I'm a coward. Honestly, God, I don't want to do this. Please don't make me this way. But then you have to say, you know what? I'm born of the last day bride. I'm born in the last day message. I'm born in the end time. Hallelujah. I'm born with the perversion and the worst that it's ever been. I don't want to be thrown in jail. I don't want to be thrown in jail for crossing up somebody's civil liberty rights or whatever more, but yet there's something inside of me that said, wait a minute, I'm born in the lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm born to fight. I'm born to stand. I'm born to not compromise. I'm born to stand up in the last day. So I have to speak to my flesh and say, get next to yourself. And if you can't get next to yourself, get next to me, your younger brother. You imagine when some of them old boys got big enough and they started flinging around swords and teaching them this, that, and the other. Just one of the little fellas. I wish I could have been a Reubenite. I wish I could have been a Simeonite.
Don't you sit there and look at me and tell me that that thought ain't come through some of your minds.
Brother Donnie, no. No, don't tell us.
Yes.
Brother Donnie, what? Once in your lifetime?
Nearly every day. Well, glory. Aren't you glad Donnie Reagan, the man, ain't leading you? You'd be in a mess of trouble about right now. Well, hang tight. I'm glad William Branham, the man, was not the one that brought this message. Because as a matter of fact, Brother Branham said, I wish this message wasn't mine to bring. I wish it could have been somebody else. You know what that tells me? Even though he was born spiritual in that line of the tribe of Judah, the man William Branham loved peace. The man William Branham did love conflict. But the gene William Branham had to carry out the word and say, thus saith the Lord, when God told him to. Aren't you glad it's that way? The lion of the tribe of Judah roaring out of our souls. Look, Judges chapter 1 verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first? To fight against them. And the Lord said, Judah. Oh my goodness. You know, you just got a feeling that in some of those times, you wish your name wasn't called first. Now remember, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. But they had to look at the promise of God and say, God's called our names. Our name has been called out of the book. And it just so happened our name was called first. And the prophet of God prayed for us that we'd go out. And he prayed for us we'd come back. But let's be realistic. All of them didn't come back. So some of them gave their life for the cause. And you would have to say, no, wait a minute, how does that work? The prophet of God prayed that we'd come back, but yet my uncle, my nephew, my so-and-so, they didn't come back. So does that mean the promise ain't good? Boy, you folks are thinking deep tonight. Either that or I'm talking over your head or something. So the next battle gets ready to fight. And who do they call? Whose name first? Judah. So are you going to believe the promise of God that you're going to come back? Or is fear going to grip your heart and think, they'll probably kill me like they did my uncle? Friends, every one of us have got to find our place. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. So the promise would give the strength. Now if your name is called and you're identified with the promise, I believe with all of my heart this message is more than a bunch of doctrines. It's more than a bunch of things, Brother Terry, to fuss and debate and argue about. To me, there is strength that lays in this message. These things that we hear preached, oh my, there is strength. And don't just come to get another quote and another quote and another quote. Oh, I got another quote tonight to prove my theory. Is that all you got out of church? There ought to be a strength in that when you hear your name called, that it gives you strength to face this darkened world out here. Look in Psalm 78:67. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. The tribe of Judah, Mount Zion. So now they are being identified in part of the capital city. Glory. Psalms 114 verse 1. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. You mean when they left Egypt? According to what David said, when they left Egypt, Judah was his sanctuary. Well, what about Levi? Well, you got to have somebody to minister in the sanctuary. The tabernacle can't minister to itself, and a priest has got to have a tabernacle to minister into. In the days of Ezra, Ezra chapter 1 verse 2, thus saith Cyrus the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God. Can you imagine this heathen encouraging the Jews to go back and build a house for God? His God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Should we find it amazing then that some of the forerunners in this great deliverance revival come from the tribe of Judah? Judah was going first. Listen to me now. There's a spiritual parallel of this in your life. Every battle you face, send Judah out in front of it. Praise, confession, prayer. I'm going out, but I'm coming back. Amen. I don't know how this is going to come out. I don't know how tomorrow is going to be, but I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Send Judah out! Instead of your intellect or your fear. Oh, I don't know how. Oh no. I don't know what's going to do. You understand what you're doing? You're sending fear out in front of your soldiers. You're sending fear out in front of your faith. Don't send fear out. Send Judah out. Send Judah out. By God's grace, I'm going to face this, and we'll face it together, and we'll come out. Hallelujah. I don't know what the doctor's report's going to be, but I'm going to send praise in front of the doctor's report. Glory to God. In verse 4, whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, with gold, and with goods, and with the beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up chief of the fathers of Judah. Of Judah. And Binyamin. Benjamin. Because what you find is the inheritance is divided in Jerusalem. Mount Zion goes to Judah. But for the most part, the big part of Jerusalem itself went to the tribe of Benjamin. So you've got Judah and Benjamin inheriting the house of God. Now remember, little Benjamin is a type of the 144,000 that'll be born. Who's going to be in that blessed millennium sitting upon that? Amen. Who's going to be there? The bride and little Benjamin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what was it? Why wasn't it in the tribe of Levi? Why wasn't it in the tribe of Gad? What was it that got a hold of Judah? men of Judah. Thank God for men of Judah in this message. Thank God. Then arose chiefs of the fathers of Judah and of Benjamin and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. Zechariah 2:12. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Praise God. Is it any wonder the scripture says the Lord inhabits the Judah of his people? The praises. Do you honestly think God inhabits your complainings and your grumblings and your gripings? God can't stand it, but he loves your praise. He inhabits your praise. He inhabits. Oh, hallelujah. Notice in Matthew 2:4, when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, O thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Moses' prayer is still being answered. His hands will be sufficient. Praise God. Praise be to God. Luke 1:26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And of course, David was of the tribe of Judah. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, and the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. So God sent a messenger with a message, and he called her name. And he pointed her back to the book. For thou hast found favor with God. What is grace? Unmerited favor. May I say to you, you are highly favored with God. You have found favor with God. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Judah is now producing the real line. Hebrews 7:14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. Let's close with this. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. His hands were still worthy and able. Moses praying for Judah's hands. Way back yonder in Deuteronomy, and here in the end time, out of the tribe of Judah, one was found worthy to take the book into his hands.
And yet Judah struggled and fought and fought. But the blessing of God always outweighed for those who truly believed.
Amen.
It didn't go without test. It didn't go without trial. Some of you may struggle in your finances and you wonder why. You know what? If it could be the blessing of God. Now listen. Because God knows that if some of you were rich, the richer you were, the more you'd have and the more goods you'd have and the more carnal you'd be and all this that would go along with it. What if it would be the blessing of God that would always just make a way for you? Huh. I know some of you rich folks here at the church probably ain't never been there. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I know what it's been to struggle. Oh, yeah. Me and Carol had cheese and crackers for so long whenever I first started preaching. We got so hungry for meat. Carol's mama raised chickens. She said we could have one. But I had to catch it. Well, we'll not go there. Needless to say, we did eat that thing through a long process. Brother Donnie, you struggle. Oh, yes. I've seen the time when I did not know where our next meal was coming from. But it always came from somewhere. Now, that wasn't me going out working and, you know, making more debts than what I made. That's when I was preaching. That's when I was preaching. But I realize now it was Him trying me.
Sure.
I'm grateful for it.
Amen.
What if you had so much stuff and that stuff got you more carnal and more carnal and more carnal and that stuff pulled you away from God? But what if instead, your money's right there and you pay the bills and you struggle and you don't always have this and that and the other, but somehow God always makes a way. Really, if that's the blessing of God on your life, you're better off than being the other way if it pull you away from God. Praise the Lord. Some of you want great spiritual things and great this and that and the other. But there again, what if God give you some great something other that's beyond what your capability would be able to handle? What if God allowed you to be one of those, blessed are the poor in spirit? I've had very few problems out of the poor in spirit. Most of my problems as a pastor has been those who feel like they are so rich in spirit, they can tell me how to run the church. As a matter of fact, they're so rich in spirit, they'll tell Brother Branham where he was wrong. I'd rather have paupers any day of the week. Oh, I don't never shout like so-and-so, and I don't never. But what if God just has enough for you, Brother Dale? It's just there when you need it, and it's, I mean, you just feel like, boy, some days you feel like your cap's just going to blow off, but it never does, actually. You just think it's going to. And you think, well, I guess it didn't happen today. Maybe tomorrow. It never actually does, but it's just always enough. You just have enough anointing, just enough peace. Anybody hearing me tonight? That could be your blessing. That could be one of the greatest blessings that you've got in your life. What if some of the things that's made us pray so much and difficulties in our home and families, and we think, boy, if we could get this thing worked out, if we could get this person straightened out in our family, oh my, what? But what if it is the pressure that's helping make you what you are?
Amen.
You say, that ain't the message? I hate to disappoint you, but Brother Branham said, I was thinking this morning about tension. And I began to think about tension, and I thought, this tension is what makes me who I am. And I got to thinking, if it wasn't for tension, I'd be like a rag doll. Most of us don't have to worry about that. Maybe a banjo. That's why I feel like my life is most of the time I'm wound up so tight. Going to pop a string. But after all, That's what makes me who I am. So if my life was like this, I never get no emails from Africa. I never get none from Brazil. I never get none from all over the world wanting money, more money. Emails from people criticizing everything that I do, from the kind of clothes that I wear to the way I preach, the way I sweat, and whenever I bend over preaching like a monkey. If I never got none of that, none of y'all never had no problems. None of y'all never had no sickness, and I just pile around in a big recliner home all the time, and then I come to church and preach. Wonder what I preach. Couch potato, maybe. But what helps me bring what you feed on? Tension. Pressure. What makes you want it? Because you're under tension and pressure. So after all, it's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hey, we need tater peelers. You got to have no doubt there was people that cooked. No doubt there was people that prepared the food whenever they went out to fight. Wouldn't it be easier if you was back there, a tater peeler? Oh, man. Cut myself on a peeling of taters. Oh, goodness. Somebody's got to bleed for the cause of the war. Man alive. There's got to be people that cook our taters, peel them. But wouldn't we be hurting if all of our people had that mentality? So when the Philistines come out, you throw a peeled tater at them. Thank God we've got men and women that God can put on the front line of Laodicea. Oh my, you love him, children. With all your hearts. With all your heart. No doubt our church is made up of this diversion of this tribal order. We have people of this makeup and that and that and that. Look, I don't want you to be like me. I don't want you to have my spirit. I want you to have God's spirit. If you come here and never shout, you're welcome to come here. If you come here and do shout, you're welcome too. We don't want everybody to be exactly the same. We want you to be what God has made you to be. Let's pull together and fight for one common cause. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, how marvelous are your ways. How wonderful, wonderful they are. As I've sat studying, looking at these things, Lord, and just dissecting every word and trying to pray over it and comprehend it, and Lord, I've just realized how greatly expressed you are by diversity. Even with gifts of preachers and singers and whatever more in the way that you do. I hear brothers preach and I think, my goodness, I just read that scripture yesterday or last week. I never saw that at all. Where did they get that at? And yet, Lord, we know it comes from you. It comes from you. Singers get up and they'll sing. And oh, maybe they're not the very best of singers, but they have a touch about them. Others can get up and, my, they are so talented and they have that touch. Others, they have talent, but they don't have as much touch. So it's so diverse. Help us, I pray, Lord, to realize as we are in a family, some brown hair, some blonde, maybe some black. But yet, brothers and sisters, even that way in the natural makeup, how much more so in the spiritual? Everyone can't be in the tribe of Judah. Everybody cannot be in Gad, there'll be a troop, or Dan that'll lay by the side of the road as the adder, showing his way of fighting. Yet, Lord, each of us coming together in the same spirit and the same truth, we accomplish one common goal. We go about it in different means, in different ways maybe, but the end result will be the same. Help these people here, Lord, never, ever, ever. And help me to never get our eyes on some little isolated kingdom. Why would I want to build a little tiny, small Donnie Reagan kingdom and forfeit being a part of the biggest kingdom that's ever been in the world? And I can't build myself a kingdom and be part of yours. If I build me one, I forfeit being part of yours. So, Lord, I pray you would help each of us. Lord, we're not interested in no personal kingdom. We're interested in being a part of your kingdom. Help us, Lord Jesus. If we're called to be in the front line, may we be out there. May we be vigilant. May we go out. May we return. If we're Levi to minister, to teach, may we do that. If we're Gad, Manasseh, Ephraim, whatever we are, Father, may each of us do our best for the kingdom of God. We love you, Lord. Praise God. You love him with all your heart. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Oh, praise God. Maybe you're called in the tribe of Judah spiritually. Now I'm speaking. But yet every time you pick up a sword, you tremble and you shake. It don't mean, friends, that David, just because he was an excellent marksman, it don't mean that David didn't get afraid and tremble. David needed the Lord to help him and give him strength. You may be born under Judah, as we'd say, but I don't care how much you're born under it, you still need God's strength. We all do. Oh my, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We bless your name tonight. We thank you that Judah is still prevailing. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, who took the book and called our names. We thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I pray for each man, woman, boy, and girl, each housewife, each deacon, each trustee, each minister, each layperson, those that have streamed the service tonight. May each of us, Lord, find our place and be faithful. If they could only understand, after becoming converted, the next major hurdle that they will be able to conquer, the greatest conquest after being born again in their life, will be finding their place and remaining there. That's what Satan used in the very beginning. He didn't use deep theology. He didn't use deep mysteries. He used one simple thing. Get Eve out of her place. Get the serpent out of his place. Get Adam out of his place, and God would throw them out of their place. It's the same, Lord, down through the ages. If you can get Bathsheba out of her place, what woman in her right mind taking a bath out on the top of the house where men can see her? Get her out of her place. Get David out of his place. It throws the whole king's family out of their place. Lord Jesus, help us, Father. Each of us to get in our place and stay there. Amen. And realize if it's small, if it's little, what difference does that make? It's a blessing to be in our position, Lord. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Is that your desire tonight, church? Why don't you just tell him, Lord, I want to just stay in my place. Many of you, no doubt, you've got it already. You've got your place in Christ. You've got your place in the body here, in the family, your family, not your family at home. But you need strength just to stay there. Just be what God wants you to be. Praise God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We want to let Judah lead us as we come to the close of the service. And that is in praise, in worship. Lord, if we don't get nothing more out of the service tonight, may they take home with them, Father, that little thing you dropped there a while ago about letting Judah lead in the forefront of our battles. Leading it with praise. When they face their final exams, they can face it with fear. They can face it with trauma. They can face it with all kinds of things. Going to school, they've got this test and that test. A certain thing at work or whatever more. Or they can let Judah lead. Let Judah lead. Praise God. I don't know what my grade's going to be. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I know my God is on my side.
And I know He'll help me. I don't know what the doctor's going to say tomorrow, but I know my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory. Praise God. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let's let Judah lead us out of here as we get ready to dismiss, can we? In praise. Oh, let's just love Him a little now. Oh, praise God. If you've lost your praise, children, get it back. It has a great deal to do with the victory in your life. Praise God. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm going through so much. Don't praise Him then so much for what you are. Praise Him for what He is. Praise Him for all that He's done, all that He's going to do, all that He says that He wants to do. You'll have enough to praise Him for quite some time if you do that. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Lead us, O tribe of Judah, in the courts of praise. Lead us as we come before His throne and our hands to raise. Lead us, O tribe of Judah, as we lift our voice, as the army of God will face the day, because He is our choice. Lead us, O tribe of Judah, as we lift our hands with our voices in one accord to the great I Am. Lead us, O tribe of Judah, as we lift our thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Our voice we raise. Lead us, O tribe of Judah, as our name we behold. We'll lift our voice and sing from our soul as the mystery now unfolds. I got a prayer request I want to make known to you tonight. I can't go into the details, but I received a call today from a brother hundreds of miles away from here, really, really distraught and tore up because of a sickness in his wife's body. Be going within a few days for some tests and things on it. And he just asked me not to make it public, but he was so torn up he could hardly even talk to me. It took me a few minutes to even recognize who he was. But I believe our God is mindful. Amen. You don't need to know who it is, and you don't need to know the particulars about it. God knows. Amen. I want you to just help me right now pray. Heavenly Father, You know this request. You know who this is, Lord Jesus. I'm asking You tonight, dear God, in Jesus' name, may the presence of God move for this request, Lord. You see, Lord, what the brother said.
You know this situation with his wife. Lord, though the symptoms may be frightening, though the things may look scary, Lord, they can approach the doctor's visit through fear, through torment, or they can let Judah lead the struggle. I pray, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. He texted me back in a little bit and said after he got off the phone with him, he began to feel more calmed and he knew that I was praying. So I pray, Lord God, even now for him, that you just strengthen him, Lord. Grant it, dear God. Father, also come to my heart now, Lord, Brother Bo Smeaton's wife. You see, Lord, she's been having such a situation, Lord Jesus, with her esophagus and this acid reflux and taking several medications. And Lord, she's been to different specialists and things. Father, I pray for our sister tonight. Dear God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I want to remember Brother Frazier as well. Lord, had been in the hospital for several days and then them sending him home. Yet, Lord, the doctor's not giving a very good report. Oh, but Lord God, we ask tonight in the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God would move for our brother. Heavenly Father, I believe you're mindful of him, Lord. May you just touch him, Lord God. Other needs and other requests, Lord Jesus, I pray the presence of God would move on behalf of the needs of your people. There's so many needs. Sister Sharon Ward, Lord, you see her situation, Father, with her platelet count and all. I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you'd touch our sister, Lord. Oh, God, we want Judah to approach this, be the leader in the battle. Father God, your prophet has taught us that praise waters the seed of God. It waters, so we receive that promise. Abraham received the promise he's going to be a father, and he watered that promise, the prophet said, for 25 years. So praise waters the seed promise of God. Minister to the needs of your people, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the saints said,
amen.
Praise be to God. God bless you, saints. So appreciate you. Love you with all my heart. Let's come back this weekend expecting the Lord to speak to us again. We have some wonderful things laying before us. I trust you've been blessed by the word that's been coming. Praise God. Praise God. I'm gonna praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.